Well, thank you, Tim, Sarah, and Zoe. It's now time for our Bible talk, so get yourselves comfortable, and I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for not only are you the God who speaks, you are the God who imparts wisdom. Wisdom for how we are to live. And so we ask you to now, in your mercy, to speak to us for that purpose, that you would use your word to make us wise, wise to live our lives in a way that honors Christ. And so we commit this time to you in his name. Amen. Well, have you ever heard of the adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Some of you with an old dog may have learnt this from first-hand experience. For as dogs get on in age, they tend to get set in their ways. Friends of ours own and run a big sheep farm. And one of the things that's really fun to watch is when they train a young pup in the sheepyards. Kelpies tend to be their preferred breed, and they usually start training them from when they're only like 5 months old. And because at that age, they're still so little, they often get squashed and stepped on. And even though this goes on when they're only 5 months old, our friends say you've got to start them that young, otherwise they'll be too far gone. Even though at that age they're not really intimidating to the sheep, even though they can spend a lot more time running from the sheep than running after the sheep when they're little, you've still got to do it because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. If you try, once they've got some years under their belt, then it becomes much too difficult. To borrow an image from Jesus, it's kind of like trying to put new wine into old wineskins. It doesn't tend to work. The dog will often burst. And those of you with older dogs may have discovered this if you've tried to teach them how to shake hands, roll over, or sit in their latter years. Oftentimes, an older dog would just look at you as if to say, you know, roll over. Are you serious? What do you think I am? A gymnast? A human, how about you go and fetch me some more of those biscuits? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And the reason why I start with this is because Solomon's big idea is this isn't just true of dogs, it is also true of people. Today, Solomon, as an older individual, wants to talk to our younger people in particular. He wants to speak to them about this principle, which he has observed in his own life experience, the principle that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. Because the longer that we let anything set in, whether it be a particular way of thinking, a sin, a habit or pattern are set in, we become less willing to change it. And not only do we become less willing to stop old attitudes, habits and patterns, like an old poodle who's getting long in the tooth, we become unwilling to start new ones too. Which is why Solomon will say to you, remember your Creator in your youth. And it's not just Solomon who is saying it, for research is still saying it too. I remember reading an article by the Barna Group, which is a group that does a lot of research on current trends in Christianity. And after interviewing thousands of Christians, they discovered that more than two-thirds of the people who made the decision to follow Jesus did so before the age of 18. They discovered that once we are adults, statistically, we are far less likely to make that decision. Statistically, adults are far less likely to become Christian than children. And other surveys and research report similar things. Now, all things are possible for God, as we heard last week. But if this doesn't highlight the importance of remembering God in your youth, in addition to the significance of children's and youth ministry here at TPC, then what will? Recently, I was talking to a young guy about his indifference to Christ. And it's not the first time that I've heard someone say this to me, but I just haven't heard it for a while. He said that I'm just going to live my life first, and then I will turn to Christ just before I die. To which I said, it's funny you should say that, because Jesus tells us parables against having that kind of attitude. For what if, for instance, you end up like one of the foolish virgins and Jesus returns first? Or what if you're like the rich fool who just wanted to enjoy life, but God demands your life that very night? You see, it'll end up being too late for a lot of people who think they can wait. And a lot of people who wait don't get the luxury to decide. For as Solomon has already said, some people die before their time, like the parable's rich guy. And besides, think about this. If your young self isn't willing to stick with Christ, then why would you assume your old self might? Which is why today Solomon is going to tell us how to be wise when it comes to life. He is going to say that it is totally okay to enjoy life. Just don't forget to enjoy the God who gave you life. Solomon's going to effectively say, don't make the same mistake that I did when I was your age. When I started living for the good things God gives instead of him. When I made the classic Romans 1 mistake of forgetting the Creator because I was so captivated by his creation. So if you're watching this and you're young, then listen up, because Solomon's going to tell you how to be wise at a young age from the perspective of old age so that you will be wise in every life phase. And if you're watching or listening to this thinking, but what if I'm already getting on like Solomon? What if I'm already way past my halfway line? What if I'm an old dog who's a little too long in the tooth already? Well, friend, if that is you, then don't fret, because Solomon's going to offer you some wisdom today as well. For as we make our way, you will see he also has a whole lot to say about old age. So while his focus today is no doubt those who are of a younger age, there is also wisdom here for every age. And so to see what he has to say to us in every age, let's pick it back up from where we last left off, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. Okay, so last week Solomon spoke to us about our too hard basket, and this week he wants us to remember the days of darkness. So let me first read verses 7 and 8, and then I'll explain what he is saying. Okay. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness. For there'll be many, everything to come is meaningless. So when Solomon says that light is sweet, he is saying, that life is a really sweet, pleasing thing, which is why you should enjoy it. While you have it, be in life and live it. While you have good days, enjoy good days for two reasons. Number one, make sure you enjoy the good days, because some days won't be good days, because some days will be bad days, which is why he tells us to remember the dark days. You see, when we are young, a lot of us have a naive kind of optimism, probably because of all the Disney movies that we've watched. We can naively be unaware or forget days of darkness are coming. For kids' movies will tell us every one of us lives happily ever after. But here King Solomon uses reality like a blowtorch on that kind of movie plot to say, no, it doesn't. We don't all get to live happily ever after because days of darkness are coming. And some of you who are young have learnt this lesson already. Some of you in your youth have already had to learn this because you've already had to deal with a serious illness like cancer or poor mental health or the death of a close relative or friend or conflict between your parents. Life has already shown you there are days of darkness already. You've already been forced to learn this hard lesson because the truth is, but the truth is, a lot of us still haven't. A lot of us, when we are young, can have a naive kind of optimism which is more akin to Walt Disney than reality or scripture. And I can tell you that this was certainly true in my own experience. When I was growing up, I had an awesome dad and mum. I was really blessed to grow up in a family with great parents. And then in my mid to late teens, as I was starting to become a man, sadly, I started to become more self-centered, which meant that I had a lot less time for my parents. And then before we even knew what happened, we lost my mum to cancer. You know, and that's the danger. If you forget or are naively unaware that there are dark days ahead, then you might not appreciate or be thankful for the good days while you have them. And Solomon aims this at those who are younger, for this usually isn't a problem for those who are older. Because those of you who are older have already seen plenty of bad days through just living longer. Older people have already lived long enough to see enough cancer, enough poor mental health and death and conflict to have their optimism popped long ago. You know, they don't tend to need their memory jogged by Solomon, which is why he aims this toward those who are younger. And so that's Solomon's first reason for you to enjoy life, to enjoy the good days while you have them, because one day, as he says, the dark days will be many, if not already. And the second reason is this: enjoy life not just because there will be dark days, but because there won't be many days. There will be days or fewer days than you think because life is so brief. And I get this from when Solomon says that everything to come is meaningless or vanity. At the end of verse 8, he uses the Hebrew word again, hevel, that he has used again and again, nearly like 40 times throughout this writing. And the Hebrew word hevel, it doesn't just mean meaningless or vanity. It also means quite literally breath or mist, as in fleeting. And you'll probably see this in your footnotes if you're reading from the ESV. And so Solomon's second reason is so enjoy life while you have it because it is so brief, for all that comes is fleeting. It's like a mist. And again, this is really important for those of you who are young to hear. For when you are young, you don't really tend to think about how life or how brief life is. And when we're young, why would we? We don't really tend to realize that life is kind of like driving through a small town, that if you blink, then you will miss it. And when Charmaine and I last visited the church that we got married in up in Sydney, you know, I really felt this. It had been a few years since we had last visited. And when we visited, we got to see a lot of dear old friends and a lot of those that were Sunday school kids that we used to teach. And, you know, we were both shocked to see how they were now all so big. I mean, I literally had to look up to some of these kids who I remember as being yay big. And when we caught up, we found out a lot of them are now getting married and starting families. You know, and when I heard this, I was really confronted by how quick life is. Because I used to be the young guy, but now I'm the old guy. You know, man, just time really flies. And you know, Solomon is right. Everything to come is really fleeting. Life is just like a vapor, a mist. It is there one minute and it is gone the next minute. Blink and you will miss it. Which is another reason why you really need to enjoy it while you have it. But to say we are to enjoy life is not to say we get to live any life. And in order to see what any life might look like, then take a look at the first half of verse 9. Where Solomon says, you who are young, be happy while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. So here we have a description of a young individual who is uninhibited, of someone whose endeavor is sensory pleasure, someone who is led by what their eyes see and how their heart feels. And those of us who attended the parenting course recently heard why this is something we tend to succumb to when we are young. Because when we're young, we tend to live in a now bubble. We tend to live for the moment, then have a longer term perspective of reaping and sowing. Far less than when we're older, we don't tend to connect the consequential dots anywhere near as much. But we need to remember that everything we do does have a much longer term moral consequence. As Solomon says, this is where a lot of us can get life wrong. And where a lot of us get it wrong when we are young. For we get life wrong when we forget everything will come under the judgment of God. At the end of verse 9, he says, but know for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Which is precisely why we don't get to pursue everything our heart and eyes desire. Being told to enjoy life doesn't mean we get to live any life. It doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want, for everything to come will come under the judgment of a holy God. Well, many of you will know that my wife Charmaine, she works as a teacher's aide with teenagers. And it seems that almost every day she ends up having at least one of these conversations where she'll sit down with one of her students and ask them how the assignment's going. And one of them will say, it's not. And so she'll ask him, why not? And they'll say something to the effect that because I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want. And so Charmaine will be like, yes, you are free to decide how you spend your time. But ask yourself, is that wise? You know, what do you think is going to happen when your teacher comes to mark your assignment? And Solomon says this same principle applies to all of life. For particularly when we are young, we may want to assert our rights. So we may want to say we are free to decide how we live our lives and spend our time. But here Solomon is asking the question, is that wise? Is it wise when one day a big red pen is going to come down from the sky and mark how we have spent our time and how we have lived our lives? Which is why, like a good teacher's aide who just levels with you straight, in verse 10, Solomon tells us to put all of that other stuff away, to put away all of the stuff that will only lead to frustration or vexation, depending on translation, and pain. Because everything we've done will one day come under God's judgment. And if all you've done is live how you want, if all you've done is be led by what your eyes see and how your heart feels, then Solomon says it'll be meaningless. At the end of verse 10, he says, your youth and your vigor, all of it is meaningless. It's kind of like a kid who comes to school yet still refuses to do the work they've been given. It then becomes vanity or meaningless, for they may as well not even be here. And knowing that everything will come under God's judgment, it not only helps us to see why we mustn't live however we want, it also drives us to the cross. Because if it weren't for the precious blood of God's Son, then in the end, the only pen that we would ever see is, of course, red. So if you know Jesus as Savior, then you need not fear him as judge, which is why we must live our entire lives as a response to the cross. For the cross doesn't just save us from God's judgment, it shows us the reality of God's judgment, and therefore why we mustn't live however we want. Remember the Creator when we are young, which brings me to chapter 12, verse 1. But just before we turn the page onto the home straight, to those who are young, and by young I mean anyone in their mid-teens through to young adult, let me just say that you guys are especially at an age when people are tempted to forget. Are tempted to forget your Creator, then remember your Creator. You guys are really at a crossroads age, which for many proves to be make or break when it comes to faith, where you can choose either to remember or you can choose to forget. Recently, one of the biggest ever faith-based studies in Australia was done. The results were reported very widely and are still available online. And it even led to a big conference in Melbourne being held. And get this, the conference was named Hemorrhaging Faith. It was given that name because the study discovered that each year, currently around 50,000 Christian youth and young adults across Australia walk away from their faith. Now, if that is accurate, then that's nearly 1,000 a week who stop participating and engaging across this nation. And how or why would anything like that be even possible? Because they're not listening to Solomon. That can only be the case if they are not listening to what Solomon is saying. So if you are young, then listen up. Don't miss this, for a lot of young people begin to think, it'll be okay if I just start to kind of drift. But Solomon's saying, for 3,000 years, that has never been okay. It hasn't been okay for 3,000 years, for it is still hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Because once you drift, once you let that way of thinking, that worldview or sin, that attitude, habit or pattern set in, you'll become far less willing to change it. It's much easier to stay with Jesus than come back to Jesus, because faith is kind of like playing an instrument or learning a language. The more you let yourself forget, the harder it is to remember. So don't forget. And so from here on, Solomon keeps hitting this same nail on the head. He keeps driving in this principle. He really starts to reiterate the need for us to remember our Creator before it is too late, before we become really set in our ways and succumb to old age. And it's interesting how he does this, by getting them or us to think about something young people never tend to think about, which is thinking about the onset of old age. When he describes, which is what he describes or narrates in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And if you're watching or listening to this as an older individual, then I'm sure there is a whole bunch of stuff here that you're really going to identify with. Okay, so midway through verse 1, he describes the aging process as the days when trouble comes, of when we have so many years under our belt, it's hard to find pleasure in them, unless it's a memory. And some will say, you know, that's a little negative towards being elderly. But Solomon explains why it gets hard to find pleasure in old age from verse 2 onwards, when his language becomes highly metaphoric. In verse 2, he says the onset of old age is like the dark of night and clouds are rolling across the sky. Then in verse 3, he speaks of keepers that tremble, and by that he means our legs. This is why when we reach a certain age, we stop using eBay to look at rollerblades and start using it to look at walking frames. And we'll do anything to avoid a staircase. For it's not just that our legs tremble, but we also tend to become more bent. The older we get, the more that we can start to resemble an acute angle. And for even those of us who are the strongest of men, we are no match for age's effect on bone density. Midway through verse 3, he talks about the reality of losing grinders or teeth. And this is why we end up needing dentures. You know, otherwise we can't eat anything that hasn't first passed through a blender. Then in verse 3 and 4, he also speaks of deteriorating vision and hearing through the metaphors of windows growing dim and birds faintly singing. Which is why we end up spending a lot more time with our optometrist and our audiologist than we would like. Then in verse 5, he speaks of how elderly people tend to shut themselves in, and often for good reason. For when as our senses and as our strength become irrecoverable, we become a lot more vulnerable. With increasing age, the world becomes a scarier place. The NIV says in the streets there are dangers. The ESV says something like there are terrors on the way. And he's not just talking about having to negotiate all of the cracks in the pavement. All right, then midway through verse 5, he uses a blossoming almond tree to illustrate our hair going grey, when, like me, it becomes tempting to just tell people we've been painting. And then Solomon says it gets to the point where we can become so old, we end up looking like a poor grasshopper dragging itself along. Then our desires stirred no longer. We're long gone, and so out come the mourners. And so that's it. And then in verse 6, Solomon pretty much says the same thing, which reiterates the whole point of this when he says, remember him. Back up in verse 1, he said, remember the Creator while we're young. And here he reiterates, remember the Creator before it is too late. I.e. before the silver cords severed, the golden bowls broken, the pitchers shattered, and the wheels broken at the well, all metaphors for death, which is then confirmed in verse 7, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless and or fleeting. So get on board with this quick, because life is brief and it is too hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And I remember learning just how hard this can be, teaching an old dog or guy new tricks when I was visiting an old guy in a hospice up in Sydney. The guy I was visiting, he was a Christian and he couldn't wait to meet Jesus. And so we talked for a while, and then I read some scripture. And I noticed the older guy in the bed opposite, who was leaning in and he was listening to all of this. And I knew from previous visits that this old guy, he wasn't a Christian. And so I thought, if ever there is a guy who's going to give his life to Christ, surely this is the guy. I mean, this is it. This is the kind of opportunity you dream of. I mean, this guy, he's already at death's door. So these are the ministry opportunities that guys like me pray for. I mean, after all, there he is in a hospice, which means he's probably got a few weeks tops. In so many ways, it felt like Pascal's wager. For those of you who don't know, Blaise Pascal, he wasn't just a brilliant mathematician and physicist, he was also, get this, a theologian. So that's a guy who's not going to die wondering. He was also a really committed Christian. And Pascal, he famously pioneered or came up with this wager where he would proposition people about faith by saying, why wouldn't you give your life to Christ? For if you do, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose, even if Christianity isn't true. And so ask yourself then, why wouldn't you? Now, me personally, I have a love-hate relationship with Pascal's wager, so I'm going to leave that for another day. But you get the gist of what Pascal was saying. And that's how it felt for me on that day with this old guy on his deathbed. I had nothing to lose and everything to gain, so I asked him if I could then pray for him and his faith. And without even hesitating, he angrily said no. He then told me that I can go and just rolled over. Wow. And that was it. That was the last time that I ever saw this guy. And, you know, the adage rings true. It is so not easy trying to teach an old guy new tricks, even when that new trick is being saved by Jesus, and therefore that this old dog wouldn't have to be judged by God, because he made the decision to still reject the free offer of forgiveness from Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. God is sovereign, and so all things are possible, just like the thief on the cross who gave his life to Christ just before he died, which is what we looked at youth group the other night. So if you're watching this and you're already old, as long as you're still breathing, then like that thief, it is never too late to give your life to Jesus. But to say it is never too late is not to say that it won't get harder to change. So Solomon's advice is, you know, don't delay. This is what he has been all the time saying. So don't wait, regardless of age. And if you already love Jesus and are old, then be encouraged and keep going. Let the words of the Apostle Paul be your own. One of my favorite verses. Finish the race. Keep the faith. And so that's for those of you who are older and watching this. And now I just wanted to finish by taking a minute to encourage the youth, the younger people here at TPC. Because let me just say this. Friday nights are one of my favorite nights of every week, for I can honestly say, seeing how serious you guys are about your love for Jesus and Scripture, it is such a joy for me and Charmaine to see. If I had have been as serious about my faith as you guys are at your age, it would have saved me from making a whole bunch of mistakes. So let me encourage for you guys to keep going, and great job, dads and mums, A+. Let us keep walking the narrow path, not the broad path that leads to destruction. For regardless of what any of the surveys say, never forget we are not defined by studies or numbers. Studies and numbers are defined by us. So let us here at TPC define them as those who remember God when we are young. That is how the faith hemorrhage stops. That is how we keep remembering an awesome God. So let's keep doing that together. Amen. Now I'm going to pray. Let's talk to that God in prayer. Father, along with your psalmist, we say, and we pray, teach us to number our days so that we may indeed gain a heart of wisdom. Gain a heart of wisdom so that we may keep living our lives for Jesus, the one who went to the cross, so that we would know him as Savior and therefore need not fear him as judge. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, now we are going to sing our